The Staunch Tin Soldiers. There were once 25 tin soldiers, all brothers, for they all came from one old tin spoon. Shoulder arms, eyes front, that's how they were, and they wore splendid red tunics with blue trousers. The very first thing they ever heard when the lid was taken off the box in which they were lying was, "Tin soldiers!" There was a little boy who shouted this and clapped his hands. He'd been given them for his birthday, and now he was putting them up on the table. Each soldier was the very image of the other, except for one, who was a little bit different. He had only one leg, because he was the last to be made, and there wasn't enough tin to go round. Still, there he stood, as firmly on his one leg as the others on their two. And, as it happened, he's the soldier this story is all about. There were a lot of other toys on the table where the tin soldiers had been put up, but the one you noticed first was a beautiful paper castle. Through its tiny windows, you could see right through into the rooms. In front of it were some small trees standing round a little mirror, which was supposed to represent a lake, with wax swans reflected in it as they swam. Everything was very pretty, and yet the prettiest of all was a little lady who was standing at the open door of the castle. She, too, was cut out of paper, but she was wearing a skirt of the clearest muslin and a narrow blue ribbon draped over her shoulder like a scarf, with a glittering spangle in the middle as big as the whole of her face. The little lady was holding out both her arms. You see, she was a dancer, and besides, she'd kicked one of her legs so high in the air that the tin soldier couldn't make out where it was, and imagined she had only one leg, like himself. "That's the wife for me," he thought to himself. "But she's so grand. She lives in a castle. I've only got a box, and there are 25 of us to that. It's no place for her. All the same, I must see if I can't get to know her." Then he lay down at full length behind a snuff box that was on the table. From here, he could keep his eyes on the elegant little lady, who continued to stand on one leg without losing her balance. Later in the evening, all the other tin soldiers went back into their box, and the people in the house went to bed. The toys now began to play games, visiting, fighting, dancing. The only two who didn't budge were the tin soldier and the little dancer. She stood perfectly upright on tiptoe with both arms stretched out, while he was just as staunch on his one leg. His eyes never left her for a moment. Suddenly, the clock struck 12, and clack! Flew the lid from the snuff box. And do you suppose there was snuff in it? No. There was a little black goblin. You see, it was a kind of jack-in-the-box. "Tin soldier," cried the goblin, "will you please keep your eyes to yourself?" But the tin soldier pretended not to hear. "All right, you wait till tomorrow," said the goblin. And when tomorrow came and the children got up, the tin soldier was put away by the window. And whether it was the goblin or the draught that did it, all at once the window flew open and the soldier fell out head first from the third story. It was a terrible fall. There was his leg going straight up in the air, and he was left standing on his helmet with his bayonet stuck in between the paving stones. The maidservant and the little boy came down directly to look for him, but although they very nearly trod on him, they never saw him. If only the tin soldier had called out, "Here I am," they would have found him easily enough. He didn't think it would be right to shout out, as he was in uniform. Presently it began raining, more and more heavily, until it was a regular downpour. And when it was over, two street boys came by. "Gosh, look at that," said one of them. "There's a tin soldier. Let's send him for a sail." So they made a boat out of a newspaper, put the tin soldier aboard, and away he sailed down the gutter with the two boys running alongside and clapping their hands. Oh, bless my soul, how the waves did rock in the gutter and what a strong current there was. Well, after all, it had been a real soaker. The paper boat bobbed up and down, and now and then it whirled round so fast that the tin soldier became quite dizzy. But he kept staunch and he never moved a muscle. He looked straight ahead and still shouldered arms. All at once, the boat drifted in under a broad culvert. It was as dark as if he were in his box. "I wonder where I'm coming to now," he thought. "I'll swear it's all the fault of that goblin. If only the little lady were here in the boat, it could be twice as dark for all I'd care." Just then, a great water rat appeared who lived under the culvert. "Where's your passport?" asked the rat. Now then, show me your passport. But the tin soldier never said a word, and clutched his gun more tightly than ever. The boat rushed on, and the rat after it. Oof! How it ground its teeth and shouted out to sticks and straws, "Stop him! Stop him! He hasn't paid the toll! He hasn't shown his passport!" But the current grew stronger and stronger. The tin soldier could already see daylight ahead where the culvert ended, but he could also hear a roaring sound that might well bring dismay to the bravest man. Just think of it. Where the culvert ended, the gutter plunged straight out into a large canal. It was as dangerous for him as it would be for us to sail down a big waterfall. By now, he'd come so near that there was no stopping. The boat dashed out. The poor tin soldier held himself as stiffly as he could. No one could say that he'd moved an eyelid. The boat spun round 3 or 4 times and filled right up with water until it was bound to sink. The tin soldier was now up to his neck. The boat sank deeper and deeper. The paper grew more and more sodden. At last, the water closed over the soldier's head. He thought of the pretty little dancer whom he'd never see again, and the old song rang in his ears. On, on, brave warrior, on where death awaits thee. At this moment, the paper went to pieces, and the tin soldier fell right through, but was instantly swallowed by a large fish. Oh, and how dark it was inside, even worse than it was in the culvert, and so terribly cramped, too. But the tin soldier was still staunch, still shouldering arms as he lay at full length. The fish darted about, making the most terrifying twists and turns. Then at last, it lay quite still. A lightning flash went through it. There was broad daylight, and somebody called out, "A tin soldier!" The fish had been caught, taken to market, and sold, and here it was in the kitchen, where the maid cut it open with a big knife. She picked up the soldier by the waist with her 2 fingers and carried him into the parlour, where everyone wanted to see this extraordinary man who'd been travelling about inside a fish. But the tin soldier thought nothing of it. They set him up on the table and... Well, there, what wonderful things can happen. The tin soldier found himself in the very same room he'd been in. There they were, the same children, the same toys on the table, the same beautiful castle, with a pretty little dancer who still stood on one leg and kept the other one high in the air. She, too, had been staunch. This touched the tin soldier, who could have wept tears of tin. Only that would hardly have done. He looked at her, and she looked at him. But neither of them spoke. Suddenly, one of the small boys took and threw the soldier straight into the stove. He had no reason for doing this. Of course, the jack-in-the-box was behind it all. The tin soldier stood in a complete glow. The heat that he felt from the actual fire or from love, he had no idea. All his bright colors were gone, but no one could tell if this had happened on his voyage or was the result of grief. He looked at the little lady. She looked at him, and he could feel that he was melting. But he still stood staunchly with arms at the shoulder. Then a door opened. The draught caught the dancer, and she flew like a sylph right into the stove to the tin soldier, flared up in a flame, and was gone. The tin soldier was melted down to a lump, and when the maid cleared out the ashes next morning, she found him in the shape of a little tin heart. But all that was left of the dancer was her spangle, and that was burnt as black as coal.